Grateful for Pastor Eric, Doreen, Bill for entrusting the mic to me. Thrilled to be here at Acts 2 Church, beautiful community. I'll keep it a secret. Thrilled that Acts 2 is founded on the Word of God, a church that believes in the Trinity. In fact, the Holy Spirit indwelling the disciples at Pentecost. That'll move somebody's soul. And that's my prayer today, that somebody's heart is moved, that somebody's soul is pierced, because I'm simply going to share a story of God lived out through my family. It's got very little to do with me. I am, in fact, a vessel, and a vessel with a lot of upside. We appreciate your support at Zachariah's Acres. You sent us $1,504, and for $7, we can serve a child with special needs for a day so that we don't have to charge them. So you touched 215 guests and enabled them to come to this place called Zachariah's Acres. And we'll share a little bit about what they do when they come to our meager campus in the town of Oconomowoc. But before then, I'm going to give you a little history. And I've been a full-time volunteer for 13 years at Zachariah's Acres. I'm uncompensated. I do work full-time because I get to. And it's part of my free will choice, yes? And my quest is that my free will someday coincides and overlaps with God's will. And man, I'm still working on it because I don't make it till noon without falling short, repeatedly on some days. Everybody has a deal. Life is difficult. There's troubles in the world, but our Savior overcame the world, did he not? And if God's Son can suffer, need we be surprised that we suffer and have trials and tribulations? Sometimes I am. But I also know this, God is either preparing us or he's protecting us. And if you think about your life, he's probably done a little of both. And in my life, he's done a lot of both. For years, my wife and I were trying to get pregnant. I think that's a humble way to say something more direct, but that was the quest, right? We wanted children. I'm the youngest of 10 children. I thought somehow that it was up to us. Our timing? Not so much. We tried unsuccessfully. Then we decided to adopt. And we looked at domestic adoption. We looked internationally. We ended up in Russia. There's more to that, but we ended up in Russia. And shortly before we left to pick up our daughter, who was assigned to us, my wife said, "Let's get two." And I'm thinking, what is this, buy one, get one free? Did you get a Kohl's coupon? What do you mean? Let's get two. We're 38 years old. And I said, sure. So we came home with a 17-month-old little girl, Anastasia, and a 6-month-old little boy, Alexander. Now, in Eastern Europe, the fact of the matter is they don't make their best and brightest available through adoption. Chances are they were born to an alcoholic family, a drug-addicted family, somebody who couldn't afford their upbringing. So many of the children come with this thing called FAS, fetal alcohol syndrome, and it doesn't reveal itself for a few years. And man, is it a burden for them and for the family who cherishes them. We had our hands full. They had their diapers full. Shortly after we get them home, my wife says, "I'm pregnant." And like most God-fearing men I know, I thought, when I catch the guy, I'm going to kill him. What do you mean? We went from 0 to 3 kids in 10 months, all in diapers. Our youngest was born early but healthy. He spent a few days in the neonatal intensive care unit. All was good. He's breathing room air. He's tolerating his feeds. He's got no IVs in him. His isolette is open, just waiting for him to gain a little weight. So I slept over for a few days because you're scared. You don't know. And he prayed, "Dear Lord, I just want healthy children. Want them to lead a fulfilled, God-fearing life. Want them to have a relationship and walk with you." And sometimes our will isn't always his will. When you talked earlier about praying in the garden, you prayed that the cup be passed, yes? Unless, Father, it be your will. My phone rang at 3:30 in the morning. I left my son at about 2 a.m. that day, our drive back home. And on the other end, a stranger said, Your son just coded. Can you get back here? We think we can keep him alive for about an hour. I was stunned. I was speechless. I scrambled, got back in the car, drove at a high rate of speed, got to the NICU and saw all these individuals with white lab coats surrounding his little isolette. So I swam through the people, and the head neurologist and neonatologist said, "Do we have your permission to unplug your son?" He had a heart attack and a stroke. He died for 10 minutes. He's not going to survive the evening. Time stopped. Where do you turn? Who do you have at those moments in time? I had God. Beyond alone, beyond desperate, you start to look within, and then you realize, look up. And this quiet, still voice said, "Life is sacred." And so while that might have taken 5 seconds, it felt like 5 minutes, and I said to the neonatologist and the neurologist, "That's not our decision to make, is it, to unplug my son?" They reminded me he's not going to live through the night. I said, "Well, I will stay by his side so he doesn't die alone." The next day, they said he's not going to make it to Friday. I said, "Well, then I'll stay with him. He's not going to make it a week. Well, I know where I'm sleeping." So 3 months later, he was discharged from the hospital. I came to learn that a nurse took an air-filled syringe after a blood transfusion and pushed it through the line, and the air emboli went to his heart, and he had a massive heart attack. It broke up and went to his brain. So the right half of his brain simply doesn't exist. So my son went from a healthy baby boy to a baby boy with quadriplegia, cerebral palsy, a seizure disorder, dystonia, requiring tube feedings. Today, he receives 64 syringes a day to live through his feeding tube. He can't walk. He can't talk. He still wears diapers. He requires 24/7 care with two adults because he's pushing 100 pounds. And when he has a seizure, you don't call 911 because by the time you have to explain his care plan, you've lost 10 or 15 minutes. So you load him up, you give him his emergency meds, you have the oxygen going, you fly to the hospital. So we moved as a result of that to get closer to Children's Hospital some years back. My wife and I didn't go to dinner for 9.5 years. We still might not sneak away, but once a year, possibly. But we know that God plays the long game, because those medical experts who suggested that I unplug my son didn't realize that this December 30th, God willing, he'll be 20 years old. Nobody foretold on this earth that adopting two children from Russia, especially the little boy named Alexander, would protect him. You're either being prepared or you're being protected. Would protect him from being deployed to the Ukraine, yes? Who saw that? Life makes a lot of sense in the rearview mirror. When you're in it, man, can it hurt. But with faith, it's better than good. So I know what it's like to raise a child who's stared at or ignored. It's the extremes. Whose first word came from his augmentative communication device, a little computer that allows him to speak and communicate. His first step was actually a roll, a revolution of a wheelchair. The relationships he has are few. They tend to be in the world of special needs and with his family. We know he won't have a career. We know he won't get married. All this is difficult for him. It's very difficult on his siblings as well. Two adopted kids who wonder about their birth families, who ended up in America, who have a younger brother who needs 24/7 care. The only way my wife and I will be empty nesters is if our youngest son predeceases us. I don't ever want to be an empty nester. God bless the grandparents here. So what do you learn? You're in it. You can be a victim. Life's not a spectator sport. We learn to trust God, listen for his quiet, calm, still voice. We learn to take one day at a time. My little guy's meds start at 7 a.m. They end at 11 p.m. You're wired, you're tired, but you better get the meds right. It's not like you're crawling into bed at 11:15. Might have lights out at 1 a.m. My little guy loves to rock the world in the middle of the night. Sometimes with a seizure, sometimes to call his dad by taking whatever he's got in his little bed and banging it, saying, time to snuggle. So this morning that was 3 a.m. Yesterday it was 2 a.m. and it was 5 a.m. My prayer is that I don't bite the dirt on the way to his bedroom via heart attack. And I'm thrilled to snuggle with him, because when that goes away with his one good hand, oh man, am I going to miss that. We've learned to share our blessings. We've learned to acknowledge the least of these on this earth. What does Scripture say? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, in all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Individuals with special needs comprehend what's going on around them. Many live in a comatic state in that they can't speak back to you. They may not be able to move a limb. They may not be able to turn their own wheelchair. They've got a caregiver telling them where to go and when to go. They're looking at booties and navels all day, every day. And they're being told by educators and siblings and healthcare professionals what they're incapable of, what they can't do. Their chin goes in their chest and people think it's a medical disorder. No, it's a lack of self-esteem. It's a lack of self-worth. 16 years, 22 years, 37 years, they're accustomed to hearing what they're incapable of, and therefore they're simply not allowed. My son doesn't know he's a quadriplegic with cerebral palsy and dystonia because we never told him. What we did tell him is that he's loved. He has family. He is made on purpose for a purpose. My wife and I believed the diagnosis. We just never agreed with the outcome. Zechariah loves the outdoors. Now picture a little guy who's pushing 100 pounds, small in stature, 19 years old. Beautiful, beautiful, handsome guy. I'm married up, thank goodness. It doesn't carry my physical traits. He's played soccer, baseball, basketball. He snow skis every year. He water skis. He bikes. His own bike yesterday. Sometimes a wheelchair bike where he's in front of me and I'm the propulsion behind him. Loves to jog where I'm the propulsion again. I can never go fast enough. Squeals with delight when we're outside. Loves God's creation, this thing called nature. It's therapeutic to him. He's kind of on a level playing field, right? He's with the birds and the leaves and the other part of the plan, and he immerses himself in it, and there's something there. So yeah, our biggest tragedy became our greatest triumph. His name is Zechariah, and it translates literally to remembrance of the Lord, or the Lord remembers. What a perfect name for those forsaken families. The single mom who raises that special child and she's all alone. And we get to say to her, no, there's a place for you. You belong at Zechariah's Acres. You are not alone. To say to that child of all abilities, you are not a mistake. You're made in his image no less than I am. You do not have to be born with a disability to acquire one. We know it. We live it. We serve by the thousands every year, those in car accidents and various other terrible tragedies that took their world and turned it on its ear. A place to belong, a place that says your life is sacred, you are valued, you have meaning and purpose. God knows your name. You're famous in our Father's eyes. It's not about likes. It's not about social media madness. You're already famous in the Creator's eyes. What more do you need than that? You're remembered here. There is purpose in your pain. So yeah, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not a victim. This hurts. It's heavy, right? It's the second time I've shared this story in public. Don't ask me why, because I speak a lot on behalf of the ministry and other families. But God said, no, you got to share about your special son, because I gave my special son and he gave it all. So my fear is to be selfish. My fear is to make it about my family. The goal is to say, no, this is a story of God lived out through my family. If you don't believe in God's sense of humor, you look at me. He has grace, but man, his sense of humor is alive and well. Also, So he took our greatest tragedy and made it one of his triumphs. I'm simply a child of God who acknowledges the importance of my free will coinciding with his will. He trusted us to do something on his behalf with the hand we were dealt. He'll equip you and trust you enough to overcome your challenges for his glory. So with that, I want to show you what became of my son as a recipient of something tragic. That's my office. That's where I get to go on God's great piece of earth in the town of Oconomowoc. A dangerous word, I think, is I. It's kind of right up there with pride. I don't know how else to frame it up. I'm the luckiest guy I know. And always have been. And that's a choice too, isn't it? Maybe a series of choices. It's not what happens to us that really matters. It's how we respond to what happens to us that counts the most. Stuff happens, guaranteed. Probably before 5 o'clock today. Something we dislike, didn't invite, don't much care for. And we get to choose, through the gift of free will, how we respond to that or not respond. We hold the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit on high. People ask me frequently, where the ideas come from at Zachariah's Acres? The Holy Spirit. He's the visionary. Jesus shows us how to walk daily. God is the chairman of the board. His creation is magnificent. All seasons. We're in the state of Wisconsin. Sometimes it gets cold. Praise God, I call it population control. We have four seasons. That's magnificent. You see children with snowshoes on at Zachariah's Acres. People with walkers who are snowshoeing. That's a sight to take a second look at. They understand community and the therapeutic power of nature. They understand the importance of fun derived through work and donating 15 pounds of fresh produce, 15,000 pounds of fresh produce that they grow to the local food pantry. To say, I can produce, my life has value, look at this. Teamwork, enthusiasm, positive attitudes, life of meaning and purpose that they might not get in a textbook on a video screen. A school from Milwaukee came out. Sixth, fifth graders. All beautiful, beautiful children. Every one of them in wheelchairs. Looking at us with great suspicion. Driving 45 minutes to the town of Oconomowoc. When they live in Milwaukee and maybe have never seen the shoreline of Lake Michigan. And they see a sandhill crane and swear it's a pterodactyl. And a little guy wheels up to our treehouse because we have a switchback ramp system to a heated and cooled treehouse. And he sees a scripture about being like a child to enter the kingdom of God. Stay full of awe and wonder, yes? To enter the kingdom. And he looks up and says, who's that Mark guy? And his teacher starts answering his question. I step away, I go do something. 15 minutes passes, I come back, they're still talking about the good news, the gospel of Christ. And she looks at me, because she knows I'm eavesdropping, and says, I can answer his questions. I can't legally bring up the subject. And yet they want to come back. Some look to be offended, right? Even atheists blame God when things go wrong. I'm okay with that. You're welcome on our campus. It doesn't matter what faith you ascribe to, if any faith at all, you're welcome where we serve because he's going to reach you. He's going to touch you through his creation. What we raise goes to our constituents because the five people we employ are compensated by our board of directors. So when we raise money and your church gives what it gave, $1,500, we will serve hundreds of more children free of charge. It's a beautiful equation. 10,000 volunteer hours equal 5 full-time equivalents. So we have 490 repeat volunteers. We're good stewards of other people's money. And it's the craziest thing. You'll go to our campus and the school group just left and you'll see 20 cars there and it's our volunteers who are semi-retired or retired deriving fulfillment on our campus. Though we exist for those with special needs, they find a place that touches their heart and moves their soul. 43 Eagle Scout projects on site completed right now. So we reach the normally functioning population. So whether you're hunting, golfing, on vacation, at work, at church, at home, sleeping, a special child is going to be served at Zachariah's Acres. We want to remove them from the shadow of society and put them in the shadow of the cross, where they can simply be themselves. Our goal, our mission, is to connect children with special needs and their families to the miracles of nature so they may know our Creator. Our goal with that is to expand the kingdom of God, where the least of these will walk, talk, sing, and soar with healthy hearts and intact minds. How can you help Acts 2 Church? You've already helped. But you can pray on behalf of Zachariah's Acres and the special families we get to serve. You can share about our ministry. Somebody who's got a skill set, a trade, that they can bring to bear on our 175 acres in Oconomowoc. You can volunteer. There's lots of opportunities. We have a Christmas tree fundraiser coming up the Friday, Saturday, Sunday after Thanksgiving, 11 to 4 after Thanksgiving. And we sell overpriced Christmas trees and wreaths that come from the land. We've planted 20-plus thousand Christmas trees to keep Christ in Christmas. And families come out and cut their own tree, or we'll pre-cut it for them and put it on display. We'll cut the boughs starting next week from the trees on the property. We'll have wreath-making classes, so we'll get the community involved to prepare in advance. And a child with special needs will put their little name on the wreath because they might have woven in a branch somewhere to call it their own. And then we'll display them and sell them, and we'll have a church choir there, Mr. and Mrs. Claus. And we'll work our tails off Friday, Saturday, Sunday after Thanksgiving in order to serve more people with special needs free of charge. I've got brochures and other information here if you so desire. With that, I just want to say thank you. I appreciate you. Bless you for being here. You probably didn't know I was going to speak, but I'm glad we got the chairs filled to the degree that they are. And I'm always humbled by what God's enabled me to do. I'll ask him someday, because I didn't see any of this coming. But I sure am fired up about it and grateful to do what we do. 76,000 people have frequented our campus in the last 12 years. You know that's him. Thank you so much.